In this Issues podcast, we're talking to Robin Henson. She is a pediatric nurse practitioner at Cook Children's Urgent Care in Fort Worth. And one of the things we've been doing in these segments is talking to people about how they came to medicine, to pediatrics, and to urgent care. So why don't you talk a little bit about your path?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much. Yes, so I've been a nurse since the early 1980s, and I entered into nursing. I have an uncle who's a physician, and he and his wife and my cousins invited me to come live with them while I went to nursing school here in Fort Worth, Texas. So I jumped on that immediately, fell in love with nursing, and then while I was in my rotations in nursing, fell in love totally with pediatrics. My career moved forward when I graduated, and I did a lot of variety of things. I worked in emergency room. I worked in women's health, labor and delivery. Eventually found my home in pediatrics in the late 80s and haven't left since. In the 1990s, I obtained my master's degree and got my pediatric nurse practitioner certification, and have been practicing ever since. So it's really been a long journey over a couple different decades, but pediatrics is really where my heart has been.
Well, yeah, you mentioned you fell in love with pediatrics. What was it specifically about that area of medicine that appeals to you?
I really just think getting down on kids' level, being able to talk to them, helping to watch them relax while you explain procedures, making it not be such a very scary thing. You know, thinking back as a kid, getting stitches in my chin and being put into an adult emergency room to get stitches put in was terrifying to me as a child, and I never would want to have a child ever have that same feeling I did. So I work really hard to make sure that kids feel comfortable, feel relaxed, so that we can take care of them the best we can and give them a really positive experience.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about how the work happens between physicians and nurse practitioners and nurses and other staff at the urgent cares at Cook Children's?
Absolutely, I certainly can. And so in the state of Texas, nurse practitioners and physicians, which are called advanced practice providers or APPs, we work under the delegation of a supervising physician. And so it doesn't mean that they dictate everything we do. However, it does require that we have collaboration with them through the TMB as well as the Board of Nursing and for PAs where they are licensed also. So we, as physician assistants and nurse practitioners, we see our fair share of sick kids. We collaborate with the physicians that are currently in the urgent care with us at the time if we have questions, but we practice independently. We write prescriptions. We manage their care. We refer to specialists. We refer to the emergency room. And as well as from our specific urgent cares, we actually can directly admit to the overnight short stay units at the hospital. So we have a lot of autonomy. However, we do work closely with physicians, and I think it works out really well. We have a great collaborative relationship together.
What kind of patient population do you have?
Currently, we have 5 locations, and our largest location is located in Fort Worth. We see approximately 400 to 600 patients a day, and this population tends to be a little more Medicaid-heavy, multilingual area. In some of our outlying clinics, we have a lot more private health care, less diversity, but, you know, equally sick kids at all locations. We see just a variety of illnesses and diagnosis at every location.
Do you require a second language for any of your staff?
We do not require a language. We strongly welcome it and encourage anyone that wants to go through the translation process to be medically certified at the hospital. We certainly, you know, welcome that. However, we do have computerized translation services as well as language line via telephone, which offer multi languages, so that not only can we help the Hispanic, you know, population, the French population, but just, you know, multiple languages that we can help all of the families that enter our clinics.
From talking to other members of SPUC and other medical groups from around the country, do you find that you have different kinds of problems that come to you, or more of some kind or another, because you're in Texas and the weather might be different or whatever?
I think that question probably can be answered a couple different ways. One way, you know, for sure is it could be very seasonal, right? So we definitely can see a lot of sunburn in the summer, a lot of insect bites and snake bites and things in the summertime. Kids, of course, are going to fall and break their arms and legs because they're outside playing. A lot of water injuries, unfortunately, because of our hot summer months, we can, you know, kids can swim 6 months out of the year here. The winter time, you know, we see our share of RSV, flu, things that I'm sure that they see across the country. However, not as much frostbite and snowmobiling injuries that happen here in Texas like other parts of the country. But we do have our fair share of, you know, kids that have gotten kicked in the head with horses and different, you know, animals. And so, yeah, some of our more rural areas, we definitely do see a lot of these things.
Go back to the snake bites a minute. What kinds of snakes?
Well, you know, like I said, it just depends on the location. I particularly haven't seen them all. You know, depending on what the snake is and where the bite occurred and what the snake looked like, you know, they would definitely refer this kiddo down to the emergency room for further evaluation. I'm not saying it's a very common thing, but we do see it here.
And it would seem to be an extra bit of a problem with someone who's not as verbal, who can't describe the snake that he or she had the encounter with.
Correct. Yeah, correct. It can be a little bit challenging, but isn't that true in pediatrics, period, with some of these things? And even trying to identify where they get a certain rash, you know, we see a lot of poison ivy, poison oak, those kind of things, just trying to get the parent to explain, you know, what the particular plant looked like, or perhaps if they have a certain insect bite, you know, parents get very concerned about certain spider bites, and so we have to do a lot of, you know, we have to have a lot of conversation with them about that, use a lot of pictures, have a lot of education that goes along with that.
I mentioned that you had come to urgent care pediatrics after a number of different specialties in pediatrics along the way. What are you focusing on these days?
What I do right now is my new role has been for the past almost year and a half. I am the supervisor for the urgent care advanced practice providers for the PAs and the NPs. Myself and I have a partner, her name is Dana Landovazo. The two of us supervise, we have approximately 45 APPs that work in our five urgent cares. We take care of their scheduling, their annual reviews, make sure their licenses are up to date. We handle any kinds of questions, concerns. We do the hiring, the onboarding, make sure that they're staying current with all their certifications. We have a lot to juggle, plus we do schedule ourselves in the clinic so that we don't lose those skills, because really our first love is always seeing patients. So we meet with the leadership of all of our urgent cares. We help collaborate, coordinate, make sure that we're all giving the best care possible with the providers that we have available, providing the best service that we can to the kids in our area.
What hours and how much staffing do your various urgent care centers operate?
So we have the five urgent cares. Four of the five urgent cares are open from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. And the staff is scheduled to work from 11 to 11 for those shifts. The Fort Worth urgent care, because of its volume and its location directly across the street from the emergency room for the hospital, the clinic doors open in Fort Worth at 7 a.m. And in the summertime, they close at midnight. In the wintertime, we extend the hours to 1 a.m.
And I know that you're going to be doing some presentations at the SPUC conference, which is at Cook Children's this fall. Can you give us just a little bit of a preview about what you'll be looking at?
Absolutely. So one of the workshops that Dana and myself will be hosting is called Hooks, Rings, Splinters, and More. And it's a minor procedures skills workshop that we're looking forward to helping people understand how to remove some of these things that definitely will walk into their urgent cares at any given time. The other workshop that I'm going to be doing is called The Art of the Dart, Managing Expectations with a Dialogue Around Respiratory Treatment Between Providers and Families. And it's really how to have that conversation with families about viral illnesses and the reason we don't want to order antibiotics, and to really just help with antibiotic stewardship and to give providers the tools that they need to have successful encounters with parents and patients so they leave satisfied but not necessarily with an antibiotic prescription.
what do you do if a parent comes in and has in his or her mind that my kid needs antibiotics, and you don't feel that that would be appropriate in this case? How do you approach your dialogue?
One of the tools that we recommend using is called the bundle. And so the bundle is a four-part tool that we really encourage all of our providers to use. It's used nationwide, basically, you know, explaining to the parent that what you're seeing while you're examining the child, you go through the exam out loud. You know, the ears look great. I see some nasal congestion in the nose. The chest is clear. I'm not hearing wheezing. Your child looks well hydrated. You kind of walk through the steps of the exam out loud. And at the end of your exam, you'll give the parent the verbiage of just basically, your child doesn't feel well, and I understand that, but I'm not terribly concerned. And then you then move on to, you know, I know you know that this is a viral illness, and for viral illnesses, antibiotics are not recommended. But here's what we can do. Here's some comfort measures that we can provide for your child. And then the fourth thing that we add as part of this bundle is then we say, so based on what we found, if X, Y, and Z occurs in the next couple of days, you need to seek a higher level of care. You need to come back to see us. You need to go to the emergency room, or you need to call your pediatrician. And here's what these things would look like. And so we give them the tools that they need to manage the viral illness and when to know if things are not getting better, when they need to come back and visit with us.
So you treat the patient and the parent.
We do, and we like to provide education because we do find that a lot of times parents really don't want antibiotics per se. They just want their child to feel better. And so instead of saying, oh, your child has a virus, you know, it's better to say your child has a really bad cold. And parents understand that a little bit better. They don't feel quite as dismissed, and they feel like you're giving it a name. And so the literature does support using different kind of language to help parents feel like you're at least not brushing them off, and they feel like their concerns are being addressed.
Okay. What do you see pediatric urgent care doing going forward?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation on where urgent cares are going, and I'm sure there are some urgent cares that are doing a lot more than what our five urgent cares are doing. For us in particular, we're growing. We're going to be expanding, and we'll be at seven urgent cares probably around Thanksgiving this next year. But I do think that some urgent cares are performing physical exams. They're providing immunizations and flu vaccines. Some urgent cares offer more imaging. Ours, unfortunately, just does x-rays, but some might offer, you know, ultrasounds instead of POC labs. Some urgent cares may be in the future, you know, opening up and offering more lab work in an effort to maybe offset emergency rooms. There's just a lot of creative things that I think that are coming down the pipe that I think some urgent cares are experimenting with. But I think in the pediatric population, I know for us, you know, we have to just make sure that we're able to handle what we promise, and we don't want to overextend ourselves, and so we are just moving cautiously forward, just trying not to overwhelm our staff and to do too much. But I, you know, there has been talk about, you know, will we do physical exams, sports exams, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing the folks at Cook Children's this fall.